Thank you very much. So our next speaker is Juliane Neumann. You might recognize her surname. She's wife of Andreas Neumann. And she's going to be telling us about teaching QGIS apprentices.
Hello. Good afternoon. I teach QGIS for students below college level. So we're talking about not as high as Elena was talking about this morning, a bit lower. In Switzerland, these are geomatics apprentices in their third and in their fourth year. They are required to take GIS, classes in GIS, within these third and fourth years. And at the same time, they have to specialize in one of these areas, either in geoinformatics, cartography, or in surveying. And this is where the first problems come in. And I would like to discuss these problems that I have with students, first GIS, and secondly, using QGIS. So what I do is when I first come in, I tell them all about how great GIS is and what things you can do. I'm a cartographer, so I like to show them what possibilities there are. And at the same time, I try to make it interesting for them, because they come in, and as I said, the first problem is, especially those who are going to go into the area of surveying, they think they don't need GIS. So they're sitting in my class and yawning and saying, do we really need this? And I say yes, and they still don't believe me. So I need a little bit of help. James Bond. James is my GIS hero for a very simple reason, because if you know his movies and what he does, he uses a lot of GIS, especially things that haven't really aren't around for us yet. So if we look at the first movie, Goldfinger, which was in 1964, he is already using tracking systems. Navigation is what we usually now, or what we had in cars and now on our phones. In 1963, they were experimenting with them. And in 1964, James Bond was using them. So I show them several clips, about four. I start with Goldfinger and I end with Skyfall. And if we have enough time at the end of my presentation, I would like to show the clip from Goldfinger, just because I think it's very interesting that he uses these tracking systems in 1964 when they weren't even available for normal people. And another interesting thing, and this is what gets my students really laughing, is they show on the little screen, which you see here at the bottom, he's driving along Lake Geneva, but actually they're filming in the Alps. So when I say that we are going to use QGIS, they go, oh no, what's that? Because S3 products are better. Everyone knows that, right? So what I do is, this is just a very small list of that I show them of cantons and cities or small companies who use QGIS on a daily basis, just to prove to them that it's not just that QGIS is just, you know, for the fun of it, or because it's free or whatever, or because I want to bore them, or I don't know, just be mean to them, make them use QGIS instead of S3 products. So what I do is, when I say that we're going to be using that and I'm not changing my mind, is I just give them a couple of projects just to let them know how QGIS works, because these are also students who have never worked with GIS software before. And so what I do is, the first is I give them various queries. I have data sets for them to use. One query, for example, would be which districts have five or more mountains that are higher than 4,000 meters within Switzerland. I let them design choropleth maps using tourism data, or pie charts using election data. And for my cartography students, I give them precipitation data, to make maps using interpolating services and creating contour lines. These next two maps are precipitation maps. These are maps that I have done that are not my students' work, but I am showing you these two following maps for a certain reason. When I give my students data, I usually give them data for January and for June or July, and then the entire year. I am showing you August 2014 and 2015, because in August 2014, it just rained once the entire summer. So this is precipitation in August 2014. And if we then look at 2015, which is last year, it almost didn't rain at all. I'm just showing you these just so that you know what kind of precipitation maps I do with my students. And I wanted to show you also the difference, because what I like to do is I also do, when I have a larger group of students, is I have them compare years. And this would be a comparison, August 2014 and 2015. Don't take such a close look at my labeling, because I use QGIS 2.8 with my students. It's stable. Yesterday, I downloaded 2.14, and I was at the labeling workshop, and I'm like, wow. OK, so now I know that there are so many more things that I can do with labeling. So now to my student work. I am going to be showing you several interesting projects. I would like to stress interesting because some of them are, if we look at them at a cartographic perspective, are probably not the most beautiful maps. But what I think is very interesting is these are all student works where I give them for their last project, I allow them to choose anything. They can look for their own, well, they're supposed to look for their own data. Whatever kind of topic they choose, it's up to them. They just have to do certain things that they have I have a certain list of things that they have to complete, and whatever kind of data they do and what they do with that is up to them. So I am going to show Drought in California, a surfing GIS map. Swiss Alpine Club, rising sea levels, and earthquakes in California. So if we take a look at the drought maps, again, here I had two students compare January and in January 2012 and January 2014. And on the next slide, you'll see July 2012 and 2014. I saw this as an interactive map on the US Drought Monitor, and I thought, well, that's very interesting, because right now California is going through a very intense drought period, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better. And I wanted them to see that within 2 years, 2012, 2014, that it's just gotten a lot worse, especially if we look at January or if we look at July. This next one is a map. My student was very interested in surfing competitions, said that he wanted to do that. And this one shows just basically which countries were the most successful during these surfing competitions. And the next map is the top three competitors' points for each competition. He was very interested in this, and he said, well, he would like to do that, and because for these projects, I let them do whatever they want to, because I want them to be able to work. I want them to work with GIS, with this software, and I want them to get to know it, and this is one of the best ways that I've found that to get them to do something. Instead of just sitting at the back of the classroom and mumbling and grumbling that they aren't using S3 products. And this has actually turned out really well. At the end, this is a third year work project, and at the end of the fourth year, I have heard students go, well, stop mumbling and grumbling. This is actually kind of cool. The next project, also a project which was chosen by a student, I call this the confetti map. While I like the idea behind it and what is shown here, I think it's just a bit cartographic. Well, it looks like confetti. The Swiss Alpine Club has 111 sections with alpine cabins. So the country is divided, Switzerland is divided into 111 sections, and these sections have alpine huts in the Alps, and each section has more, or just has several, can have several cabins. And one of the things that they wanted to do was show which cabins, which sections had how many cabins. So if you look closely, you'll notice that some points on the map are smaller than others. This is the legend. I'm glad I had one, because looking at this map, I wouldn't have known what was what. The second analysis that they did, which is a little bit more interesting, but not on a map itself, is they wanted to check out the distance between cabins and summits above 4,000 meters. So which cabins are closest to the summits, and in distance, and in distance as the crow flies, and in distance in how many meters they have to climb to be able to get to the next summit. This following project is, unfortunately, I can't show you more than this. There's actually more behind this map. Is one of my students came to me and he said, well, he would like to do something with augmented reality. He has this idea, can he do it? And I said, well, yeah, sure. I just won't be able to help you. He said, okay, that's no problem. I know where to get my data, I know what to do. And I said, okay, fine. And this turned out to be an amazing project. He had S3 grids, which he imported into QGIS, changed them from raster to vector, filtered, oh, maybe I should say what this project actually is. It was rising sea levels. And what he wanted to see is what would happen if sea level would rise up to 700 meters. It's just, he just chose above 700 meters because fishing in Switzerland is already relatively high, and he needed just a number to show what would happen if sea level rose up to 700 meters. So he had various filters going on in the background, used QGIS to 3GS for 3D, and at the end he printed this map and gave it to me, and I said, oh, this is nice. He said, oh, no. Here's my phone, now you have to look at it. So I took his phone, and he had the browser implemented on it, and I looked at it, and it really was 3D. So now you have to say this is actually really one of the coolest projects that my students did, because I didn't. But and then when they, at the end, they have to present their projects to the rest of the students in the class, and when they finished, everyone was really quiet, and that never happens. And I was really surprised how the other students in the class really accepted it, and they were like, wow, I didn't know you could do that with QGIS. This last one is another one of my favorites. It's a small animation. It's earthquakes in California. My student wanted to do an animation. He used the time manager, and he chose earthquakes in the time frame 2014 in California, and earthquakes that have a magnitude of more than 3.5 on the Richter scale. There's no sound in the background, and it'll start in a minute. What he did is he used, so that the animation is not longer than a minute, this is 1 year, he used 400 milliseconds for 7 dates. So as you can see, There are certain areas in California that are more earthquake prone to others. The purple line in this map is San Andreas Fault. He really enjoyed working on this project. What he thought would be nice, especially if he was showing this to someone in the time manager function, would be to somehow be able to show a legend, preferably bottom left-hand side, so that people know what these little dots mean, as in, you know, how big they are or small they are, so they know what magnitude earthquakes are being shown on the map. So at the end, when I finish my 10-week course in GIS, I always ask them, so what do you think? Is QGIS really that horrible? There always are some students that said, oh, no, we're going back to ESRI because it's so much better and that's what I use at work. And so, but at the same time, I have relatively at the end, especially those who are in their fourth year, and they've been in my class twice, first as introductory GIS, and then the second class, more likely cartography. As I mentioned earlier, some students will actually say, well, this is really interesting. And they can see themselves using QGIS in the future, which I think is very nice. Now, do we have 3 minutes?
Sorry, I think we need to start to wrap.
Do I have 3 minutes?
3 minutes.
Okay, because then I would like to show Mr. Bond.
She's a beauty. Phantom 337, isn't she?
You are a clever, resourceful man, Mr. Bond.
Why, thank you.
Perhaps too clever. Twice our paths have crossed. Let's leave it at that. I should think our first meeting would have convinced you.
Oh, I see. You're worried about me not giving you a return game.
Both of us know perfectly well what we are talking about, Mr. Bond. But I see that it is necessary to remind you. Hodge up! Many people have tried to involve themselves in my affairs, unsuccessfully.
Remarkable. But what does a club secretary have to say?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Bond. I own the club. I assume you want the check made out to cash.
That would be perfectly satisfactory.
Goodbye, Mr. Bond.
Oh, I believe this is yours.
That's all right. I've got you booked out on the next flight to Geneva, leaving in half an hour.
Oh, thank you very much.
Right.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that, those last 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Juliana.